Please rise and face the back of the sanctuary. Just pull it up here. As we try to get the purple back on the cross again.
There we go. Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We confess before you, Lord, that we have sinned against you. We have not sinned only against you, but one another, with what we have thought, what we have said, and by what we have or have not done. We unseat you and put ourselves on the throne that belongs only to you. Our pride in these and all sins deserves your punishment. Yet today we approach your throne of grace, asking for mercy. So I ask you now, are you sincere in this, your confession before God, and promise with the help of the Holy Spirit to amend your sinful life? If so, answer yes with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the first Palm Sunday to show his love for you at the cross. At the cross, he showed his passion for you by dying for your sins and paying the price we could not pay. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your passion for us. Let us pray. Most merciful God, as the people of Jerusalem with palms in their hands gathered to greet your dearly beloved Son when he came into his holy city, grant that we may ever hail him as our King. And when he comes again, may go forth to meet him with trusting and steadfast hearts and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us go forth in peace. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna
in the highest.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our Savior's willingness to ride into Jerusalem, let us give thanks to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our Savior's humility in showing his real passion for all by dying 5 days later, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Spirit to open our hearts to grow in faith during this Holy Week, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, our gracious Lord. Lord, have mercy. You may be seated for the hymn, What Wondrous Love Is This? Send your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. The Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants when he sees that their power is gone and there is none remaining, bond or free. Then he will say, "Where are their gods, the rock in which they took refuge, who ate up the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offering? Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your protection. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ entered once for all into the holy places by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever.
The epistle is from Philippians, 2nd chapter. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue now with the hymn, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna.
Thank you.
Gospel from John. This is also known as Passion Sunday. And the directions are I'm supposed to read chapters 22 and 23 of Luke to you. I opt not to do that. But I do invite you to turn, if you have your Bibles with you, there are Bibles in the pew, by the way. Turn to Luke chapter 23. And we're going to pick up there at verse 1. Then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered them, "You have said so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no guilt in this man." But they were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee even to this place." And when Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him, because he had heard about him. And he was hoping to see some sign done by him. So he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. The chief priests and scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. And when Herod and his soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him, then arraying him in splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before this they had been at enmity with each other. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish him and release him." But they all cried out together, "Away with this man and release to us Barabbas." A man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus. But they kept shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." A third time he said to them, "Why, what evil has he done? I found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked. But he delivered Jesus over to their will. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that have never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, when the sun's light failed, and the curtains of the temple were torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, Certainly this man was innocent. And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home, beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance, watching these things. So far the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today begins Holy Week. This is the last week Jesus lived on the earth as the incarnate God is with us Savior. His entire week had led up, life had led up to this week, to the last couple of days, to the very last moments before he would gasp, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus' purpose had been declared earlier when he had told the people that the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He had come to complete God's promise, for the Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants. As St. Paul tells us in the epistle reading for today, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus was accomplishing the work required to redeem the sinful children of men through his sacrifice and his death. And thus he prays, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. For they know not what they do. Well, we can call it ignorance, a lack of knowledge. But ignorance is not an excuse. Not knowing the law, for instance, is not a defense if and when you break the law. And you see, Jesus is not praying God forgive them because they're not accountable for what they've done. They are accountable. If they were not, they'd have no need for forgiveness. Jesus points to their ignorance in order to identify why they have such a great need for forgiveness. They're spiritually blind. And their blindness makes them incapable of understanding what all they're doing. They're not only murdering an innocent man, that's bad enough. They're murdering their God. They truly don't have a clue as to what they're doing. Stirred up by the religious types, the crowd cries out, Crucify. And Jesus cries out in response, Forgive. And with the most powerful proof of his grace, God turns the greatest evil into the greatest good. He brings forgiveness out of crucifixion. It is precisely by means of Jesus being crucified between two criminals that the crime of all humankind has been purged from the human race. The crucifixion of the Son of God is humankind's sin, but it becomes God's opportunity. The crucifixion of Jesus washes away that and every other crime committed or yet to be committed. The crucifixion of the Son of Man was the sin of sins, but the crucifixion of the Son of Man brings the forgiveness of sins to everyone. Isn't it ironic the crowds crying out for his crucifixion and receiving the washing away of their sins. They cried out for blood, and Jesus willingly shed his blood to cover their sins and redeem their souls. There in the blood that was shed on Calvary, the world is redeemed, set free, delivered, forgiven, and reconciled to God. He humbled himself, Paul wrote, by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And so Jesus would go on to pray, Father, forgive. With confidence that the Father would indeed forgive them and us. God forgave the Jews. 50 days after Jesus' prayer, over 3,000 Jews came to faith in Jesus, were baptized into Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins, were joined through faith in a forever fellowship with their God and Father. Jesus prayed for their forgiveness, and God answered his prayer with his grace. By bearing his crucifixion for the sins of the whole world, Jesus became our mediator. The Bible tells us that there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Jesus and only Jesus mediates God's grace to sinners. Jesus is our high priest. Jesus intercedes before God our Father, pleads our case. And God forgave the Jews. There's grace in action. Forgiveness of the very people who murdered his only son. But the death was necessary, for only the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sins. And that blood was shed for the Jews. That blood washes away all their sins. But wasn't it the Romans who were largely responsible for Jesus' death? The Jews had no authority to crucify Jesus. They had to appeal to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. They had to convince him to crucify Jesus. There was Caiaphas, the Jewish high priest, who campaigned for Jesus' death. So was he the one to blame? It was Caiaphas who cynically had reasoned, "It's better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." Or was it Pilate who sarcastically washed his hands? Or do we examine those unnamed Roman soldiers, blame them for it all? Well, if it was for Caiaphas, Jesus prayed that his Father in heaven would forgive Caiaphas. And if it was because of Pilate, Jesus prayed that his Father in heaven would forgive Pilate. It was all because of the mob who demanded Jesus be crucified. Guess what? Jesus prayed that his Father in heaven would forgive them. And if it were those Roman soldiers, Jesus prayed that his Father in heaven would forgive them. Well, what if it was you? If you look at our cross here in the sanctuary, you see all those purple slips bearing the names of people who stuck their names to that wood. This visual has been reminding us all along that it was our sins that drove Jesus to the cross. Our sins he had to pay for. Our sins that pounded the nails into his hands and feet, that thrust the crown of thorns upon his brow. It was you and I who crucified Jesus. That means for you, Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them." It was your forgiveness Jesus willingly suffered. It was your sins Jesus willingly bore, your soul for which he suffered. His prayer was prayed for you. Forgiveness was won in Christ's crucifixion. The Father answered the prayer his Son prayed. He forgave those responsible for Christ's death, Caiaphas, Pilate, the mob, the soldiers, you and me. God forgave all sinners, for it is for all sinners of all times and places that Jesus went to the cross. The sins for which Jesus suffered are the sins God forgave. Forgiveness of all sins was won, earned, and obtained there on Calvary as Jesus was crucified for us. And the forgiveness won on the cross, that's distributed wherever Christ's gospel is proclaimed. The forgiveness Jesus won on Calvary is distributed wherever sinners are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now we know mere water cannot wash away sins, but water that's been joined to the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus can and does. The forgiveness that Jesus won on Calvary is distributed wherever Christ's words of absolution are spoken to repentant sinners who cry out for mercy. The pastor's words of absolution are not his, but only echo the Lord's words, "Father, forgive." The forgiveness of sins won on Calvary is distributed wherever Christians come to the altar to eat and to drink the body and the blood of Jesus in the Lord's Supper. The bread and the wine are not mere signs, but they are truly his body and his blood. And as we receive Christ's body and blood, we know by faith that we are receiving forgiveness and the promise of eternal life. God the Father answered his Son's prayer in two ways. First, he accepted Christ's crucifixion as payment for the sins of the world and forgave this fallen world of all its sins. Caiaphas, Pilate, the mob, the soldiers, me, all of us were included in the Savior's prayer plea, "Father, forgive." And second, God continues to send the Holy Spirit, who through the preaching of the gospel and administration of the sacraments creates faith in the hearts of his people so that they may receive salvation through Christ's sacrifice on the cross. We believe Jesus' words of absolution. We trust his embrace at our baptisms. We hold fast to his body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Christ's prayer is heard, and God answers with his grace, mercy, peace, and hope. When Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them," God forgave us. Now forgiven, it's our turn to forgive. That's why Jesus teaches us to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." We have been forgiven to be forgiving, of taking what we've been given by God and giving it away to the people around us. Every time we hear the gospel and every time we celebrate the sacraments, we are being reminded of this marvelous gift of forgiveness, ours to have, ours to share. And Christ's prayer lives on, "Father, forgive." So we hear God's word and we make it our prayer and purpose in life to know we are forgiven in Jesus, and by his name we forgive others. We heed Paul's invitation, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus," rejoicing in God's mercy, sharing his grace with others in Jesus' most holy name. And all God's people said, "Amen." Would you please rise and join me as we confess together our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Earlier we sang the hymn, "What Wondrous Love Is This?" And if you pay close attention to those words, it talks about all the things God gives. God gives us forgiveness through Jesus. God gives us peace and hope through his crucifixion and resurrection. In fact, everything we have, God has given to us. And so in thanksgiving for all we have received, we give. We bring our gifts and our offerings to fund the ministry we do here at Grace, but also to help fund ministry done throughout the Texas District, throughout the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and throughout our world missions. So as a people of God who have been so blessed, let's bless the Lord through our giving. Come before you humbly, asking that you would hear our prayers and answer them according to your will. We bow before you and give unto you our worship and praise. We worship you not because we love you, but you loved us first and gave the king's ransom to pay our sins debt. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us so much. We thank you for the working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives, both to bring us to faith and keep us in the faith. Continue to open the eyes of our hearts and those around us, that we might see your entry with Hans for what it really was, your passion to save us. As we near the day of your return, we see a world in turmoil. Help us, Prince of Peace, amid all the chaos, to keep our eyes fixed on you. You are a benevolent king, known to grant requests. While you walked this earth, you granted the requests of the blind, the lame, the deaf, and even the widow at Nain, who did not ask you for anything, and you raised her son back to life. We lift up those who are sick, those who are suffering. We pray for all the people listed in Greg's prayers. We want to add Thomas Wolf Miller's father, as he is in hospice care in Houston. Be with them, ease their pain, and bring relief from sickness through doctors, nurses, medicines, and miracles to accomplish your will in their lives. You tell us in your word to remember those in authority. We lift up those who hold seats of power. For rulers in all places, high and low, north, south, east, and west. We ask that your Spirit would guide them and Satan's power be thwarted in all places. For your church in all places, that the gospel would be powerfully proclaimed this week, and the Holy Spirit stir faith in the hearts of many. Use us according to your will, that others may see the life of Jesus in us. Before your throne, Almighty King, we lift these and all petitions of our hearts, trusting you will answer all according to your will. We pray in the name of Jesus, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit is our God now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Your King cares for you. Receive his blessing through the words of the Aaronic benediction by which he said, "Thus you shall bless the people." Receive that benediction, your King's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you, be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. A couple of things that we want to highlight. First of all, so this is Holy Week, and so we have more services than normal. Thursday is Maundy Thursday. We will have one service at 7 o'clock. That service will include Holy Communion as well as the stripping of the altar. We will have one service on Good Friday. That is also at 7 o'clock. That will include both the reading of the Passion and a Tenebrae. And then on Easter Sunday, we're going to have two services, one at 7 o'clock and one at 10:30. They will both be the same service. There will be some things that will happen at 10:30, don't happen at 7. But we'll have communion and the like, everything at both services. At 8 o'clock, we'll have breakfast. 9:15, Sunday school will start around 9:45. We're going to be doing the Easter egg hunt for the kids. For the kids, mom and dad stay on the other side of the fence, just saying, not that we've ever had that issue before. And then at 10:30, we'll have our regular service. So that's the week coming up. Now we got a couple of things that we need to announce prior and after. Right after this service, I'm asking all of our ushers and greeters that are with us, give me 5 or 10 minutes of your time. Please join me in the community room. We got to figure out how we want to do this greeting and receiving of people. One of the issues that we thought we weren't going to have is coming back to haunt us. Yes, Redeemer left over at Midland Christian and started their own church in there, and now in their building, there's another church renting it for Easter Sunday. Ergo, we're going to have parking issues. We got to work things out for that. So please join me. Shouldn't take that long right after this service. Wednesday, April the 23rd, we're going to begin a Wednesday morning Bible class, and it's going to be on the Gospel of John. We're going to start at 10:30. We're going to meet in the community room. I promise you'll get out before 2. In your worship folders, there's a worship service survey. Please complete that. That's for every communicant member. Wait. You too, you're almost confirmed. You can do, you guys, yeah. So if you're a confirmed member, please complete that survey. There's a box out on that table as you go out those doors there. We're asking that you put your names on them so that way we make sure that Pete doesn't stuff the box. And if we need to follow up with any comments, we can check with you on that. So please do that. Those surveys will be going on now till the end of the month. So if you don't do it today, you got 2 more opportunities. Sunday, April 27th, our new Bible class for Sunday mornings will be on the book of James. It wasn't Luther's favorite epistle, but hey, it's still in the Bible. We're going to take a look at that. So we invite you to join us. And then also we want to announce that beginning next week, we're going to start receiving a door offering for the ability to purchase the materials and the equipment we need to be able to live stream our services. So right now, in case you don't know what happens, we got an audio recording being recorded right now. Everyone say hi.
Hi.
All right, now you can go back and listen to yourselves. And then on Monday, it's posted up to our website so people can follow along. Live streaming means we will be able to put it online and people follow along the very moment we're worshiping. They can worship together with us even though they're not with us. Now here's the deal. To accomplish that, we need about $5,300 for the equipment. We gotta get a new box, we gotta get this, we gotta get that. $5,300 should be turnkey. And so we're asking for a door offering. Rather than trying to raid the budget and move things around, I believe you good people see the benefit in doing something like this, you'll support it. So starting next week, we'll start taking your money at any time. But starting next week, we'll actually have a place for you to drop it off. All right, that's enough of that. Let me explain a little bit what's happening. The kids are going to come, there's some kids going to come up here, and they're going to be, Mel, you hear? There's Mel over there. Yeah, stuck in the corner where no one can see her. Fine soloist you are. But anyway, so Mel's going to be singing Were You There, and I don't know what they're doing, but they're going to come up here and do it. So kids, go ahead and take your spots for our closing hymn, Were You There. Thank you, kids. And now we invite you to go in peace and serve the Lord with joy. Thanks be to God.